Welcome to Antidote Against Arminianism by Christopher Ness. We're continuing to read at page 30 for this reading. This Reformation MP3 audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free Puritan and Reformed resources, as well as our complete online catalog containing classic and contemporary Reformation books, digital downloads, MP3s, videos, DVDs, CDs, and the Puritan hard drive at great discounts, are on the web at puritandownloads.com. Also, please consider, pray, and act upon the important truths found in the following quotation by Charles Spurgeon. Quote, "As the apostle says to Timothy, so also he says to everyone, give yourself to reading. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read. Renounce as much as you will all light literature, but study as much as possible sound theological works, especially the Puritanic writers and expositions of the Bible. The best way for you to spend your leisure is to be either reading or praying." End of quote. If you'd like to be added to our email list, please send an email to swrb@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. Our email list is a double opt-in list, so once you've sent us your email address, you'll be asked by email to confirm that you want to join our list using the email address you've supplied. Your email information will be kept confidential, and you can easily remove yourself from the list by simply emailing us at swrb@swrb.com with the word remove in the subject line. Once you're on the email list, you'll be alerted to all the new free Reformation resources, free MP3s, free electronic books and texts, so forth, that SWRB makes available on the web, as well as, at times, to our best discounts and super specials. We also encourage you to reproduce this audio resource and to pass it on to your friends. But we only authorize this as long as the full contents of the message, including the header and trailer, is not altered in any way, and as long as the audio file is given away for free. And now to SWRB's reading of Antidote Against Arminianism by Christopher Ness, which we hope you find to be a great blessing, and which we pray draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. John 14:6. As I said, we're on page 30, and we're talking about properties of the divine decree. This is the fifth property, and that is that it is discriminating. That it is discriminating and particular, not universal or general, may be proved from the following arguments. First, the very word that's used, election, confuses the universality of it. There can be no choice made where all are taken and none left. That cannot be called election, which is equally extended to every individual. He does not elect that doth not prefer some before others. God did not choose all the 32,000 Israelites that were with Gideon to save Israel by, out of the hand of Midian, but only the 300 that lacked. And these were chosen from out of the 30 and 2,000. Judges 7, verses 3 to 7. God did not choose all the nations, but only Israel, to be a special people to himself. Thy God hath chosen thee above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7:6. Election must therefore be discriminating, and a making of some to differ from others. Secondly, Scripture expressly states that only few are chosen, though many may be called. Matthew 20:16. It's only a little flock. Luke 12:32. But one of a city and two of a family that are brought to Zion. Jeremiah 3:14. I have chosen you out of the world, says Christ. John 15:19. And the Lord calls Paul a chosen vessel unto him. Acts 9:15, 22:14. How ill it sounds in the ears of a gospel spirit to say that Pharaoh and Judas were elected as well as Paul and Barnabas, and that Simon Magus was elected as well as Simon Peter, all which a general election, which is the Arminian hypothesis, most necessarily asserteth. How can these reprobate silver pieces be, in a gospel sense, termed chosen vessels, as Paul was, to know God's will and see the just one, Acts 22:14. Number three, if election be general under a condition of believing, then Pilate, Caiaphas, and Judas were elected under that condition. And so God is brought in to speak after this manner. I have appointed to save Pilate, Caiaphas, and Judas if they will believe in the death of Christ. But if they believe, Christ shall not be crucified. For those are the very men appointed by my determinate counsel to put Christ to death. See Acts 2:23 and 4:28. Had these men believed, and they have believed according to the Arminian views, then God's decree concerning Christ's death would not have been absolute, but depending on a condition which those men might have fulfilled, to wit, believing in Christ's death, which, had they done, they had believed in that which then never would have come to pass. Thus, carnal reason bespatters divine wisdom. Number four, how can it be safely said that God ever intended the salvation of any others but those who are or shall be effectually saved? This would frustrate the will of God, even his will of intention, and would be contrary to the following scriptures. Our God has done whatever he has pleased. Psalm 115:3. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Job 42:2. And no man can resist the will of God, for he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. If after all, O vain man, thou wilt still object and say, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? The only answer for thee is, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Romans 9:19. Thus it was, according to the sovereign will of Jehovah, that Jacob and Esau were discriminated the one from the other. Number five, the apostle showeth that there is this discriminating difference between man and man, that some are chosen to life, and therefore shall most certainly obtain it. Others are refused and left in a perishing condition, which they shall as certainly not escape. The election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, Romans 11:7. The difference is of God, according to the purpose of election, not as of him that foresees faith or works, but as of him that gives both. We may learn from the preceding, number one, it is distinguishing love that our potter hath made us what we are, men and women. All creatures, even toads and other obnoxious animals, were formed of the same dust with man. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Genesis 2:7, but out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast. Genesis 1:19. Two, it is the will of God that some be poor and others rich. And so here that some be vessels of honor and others of dishonor. Number three, Christ raised not all up that were dead, but Lazarus and so forth. Not all that were born blind, but him mentioned in John 9. Bless God for raising thee up from thy death of sin and healing thy blindness, and not others. Thou wert alike undeserving with them. Thou art still in thyself a sinner. And if thou art taught by grace, the last accents on thy faltering tongue will be the publican's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The sixth and last property of the divine decree, it is extensive. The divine decree of God's electing and predestinating love, although discriminating and particular, is nevertheless very extensive. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation! Revelation 7:9. There's a general decree that relates to all created beings, both animate and inanimate, celestial and terrestrial, and extends itself to every individual in the whole creation of God. For as it gave a being to all things, so it preserves them in that being while they continue in the world. And the work of providence, which extends itself from angels to worms, succeeds the work of creation. Now, although this special divine decree of predestination extends not as the general decree to every individual, it is nevertheless very extensive, even to all ranks, sexes, ages, nations, and generations. First, to all ranks, to all sorts and ranks of men, to princes and peasants, to high and low, to rich and poor, to bond and free. It extends itself to kings, for among them hath God his chosen vessels, his David's, his Solomon's, his Hezekiah's, his Manasseh's. Though the scriptures say, 1 Corinthians 1:26, not many mighty, not many noble are called, yet it doth not say not any. For God hath had some great ones to own his ways in all ages. It extends to servants also, Titus 2:9-11. For God bestows his love on those in rags, as well as those in robes. The poor have the gospel preached unto them, Matthew 11:5. And God is no respecter of persons. Number two, to all sexes. To both sexes is the decree extended, to male and female. God has his elect ladies, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and the children of thy elect sister, greet thee, 2 John 1:13. And both male and female are one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:28. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, whose names are in the book of life, Philippians 4:3. And then third, to all ages, to young and old, to children and to those of riper years, yea, very infants lay in the womb of the eternal decree, before ever they came out of their mother's womb. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, Jeremiah 1:5. John Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from the womb, Luke 1:15. And it is probable David believed that his child belonged to the election of grace, and that its soul was bound up in the bundle of life, for he comforted himself thus, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me, 2 Samuel 12:23. David's going to the grave, to it could yield him but little comfort. Number four, to all nations. Grace is not immuted within the walls of one nation only, but is extended to Jew and Gentile, to circumcision and uncircumcision, to barbarian and Scythian, bond and free, Colossians 3:11, to some of every nation under heaven, Acts 2:5. The partition wall, which was betwixt Jew and Gentile, is thrown down. Our Lord saith, and other sheep I have, which are not of this, the Jewish fold, them also I must bring. John 10:16. This predestinating love effectually calls its chosen ones from all quarters. I have loved thee, therefore I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, Isaiah 43:4-7. Number five, to all generations. Predestinating love is like a river that runs underground and breaks out in certain places above the earth. To this river, this ocean of everlasting love, Moses had his eye when of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the deep that coucheth beneath, Deuteronomy 33:13. So fresh veins of election breaketh forth, sometimes in one generation, sometimes in another. It's not bound up as to time, neither before the law, nor under the law, nor after the law. But in every generation God hath his church visible on the earth, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. As God is no respecter of persons, so neither is he of places, nations, or generations, but hath had, and he will have, his hidden ones to the world's end. Oh, believer, there is ground for much rejoicing and strong consolation in a view of the extensiveness of God's everlasting love. Well, first, if predestinating love extends itself to all degrees, then they which are poor of wealth may be rich in faith, and a master's servant may be the Lord's free man. Number two, if to both sexes, then the weaker vessel may be a chosen vessel and an heir of the grace of life. Three, if to all ages, then believing parents may have hope of their dying children. They may belong to the election of grace. They may be bound up in the swaddling bands of the covenant of grace, so they are not as without hope for them. Number four, if to all nations, then the ends of the earth may look towards Christ, as he is lifted up on the pole of the everlasting gospel, and be saved. Isaiah 45:22. If to all generations, number five, then predestinating love is an inexhaustible fountain, crying always, is there yet any of the house of the Lord among mankind that I may show the kindness of God unto? 2 Samuel 9:3. Of conditional predestination. Having stated the doctrine of divine predestination as revealed in the scriptures, and having from the same source proved that it is possessed of various distinguishing properties such as eternal, unchangeable, absolute, free, discriminating, and extensive, I come now secondly to consider the Arminian's view thereof, namely, that it is conditional upon the foresight of faith, works, perseverance, and so on. To this I answer that predestination cannot be conditional upon a foresight of man's faith, works, or perseverance because of the 12 following reasons. Number one, that which the scriptures declare to be the cause and ground of our election, that and that only must be the cause and ground thereof. The good pleasure of God is the only cause and ground of our election, not any foresight of our faith. That the scriptures declare this appears plain from Ephesians 1:5, according to the good pleasure of his will, and from Ephesians 1:9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, and predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Also from Matthew 11:25-26, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. But why so? It is even so, Father, for it so seemed good in thy sight. Again, the scriptures fully declare the same truth in Romans 9:11-15 and 11:5, and in 2 Timothy 1:9. Our salvation and vocation is stated to be not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The time would fail me in enumerating more passages of Scripture, for the whole Bible, as with one voice, crieth aloud, election is of sovereign grace and not of works, flowing only from the absolute will and good pleasure of God. Two, that which makes election an action of debt ought not to be received, and the conditional decree doth this. An action of grace and an action of debt are contradictory terms. If election be an act of grace, and the whole work of salvation has been proved to be wholly and solely from free grace, then 'tis abominable, and to be rejected to make it an act of debt. If the decree be conditional upon foreseen faith and perseverance, then is it an act of debt and not of grace, an act of justice, not of mercy? For a decree of giving glory to believers persevering as their reward can be nothing else but remunerative justice. Three, that which makes God go out of himself in his imminent and eternal actings ought not to be received. And the conditional decree does so. It makes God look upon this or that in the creature upon which the will of God is determined. Thus, man is the author of his own salvation, and God is not the author thereof. The doctrine of the conditional decree sets God upon his watchtower of foreknowledge to espy what men will do, whether they will believe or no, obey or no, persevere or no. And according to his observation of their actings, is so he determines his will concerning them. Thus, the perfection both of the divine knowledge and divine will is with one breath denied. Number four, no temporal thing can be the efficient cause of our eternal election, but faith, obedience, etc., are temporal things, the former being wrought in us, and the latter performed by us in their appointed time. What is this but to prefer time before eternity, and to set up a post-destination instead of a predestination? Five, that which is the fruit and effect of the divine decree cannot be the cause thereof, and faith, perseverance, and so forth, are but the fruits and effects of electing love. Such as are given to Christ in the decree of election do come to or believe in Christ. Others do not come, do not believe, and the cause assigned is because they are not of his sheep, because they are not given to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, John 6:37. Coming to Christ is believing on him. Ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, John 10:26. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed, Acts 13:48. We may not, according to the Arminian notion, read it, as many as believed were ordained unto life. No, for this would be setting the cart before the horse, as if the means were ordained before the end. We are predestinated that we should be holy, not because we are holy. Ephesians 1:4. We are foreordained to walk in good works, not because we do so. Ephesians 2:10. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, not because we are so. Romans 8:29. It is the election that obtains faith, and not faith that obtains election. Romans 11:7. And the apostle in 2 Timothy 1:9 excludes all works, both foreseen and existing, showing that God's gracious purpose is the original of all. Yea, Paul himself was chosen that he might know the will of God, not that he was foreseen to do so. And he tells the Thessalonians that God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We may not make that an antecedent to election, which is but the consequent thereof. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. John 15:16. Number 6. That which sets up an inferior cause because a superior ought not be admitted, and the conditional decree doth so. God is the cause of causes and the first cause of all things. There can be no being but from him. There can be nothing before him. Of him and through him and to him are all things. Romans 11:36. In him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. O Lord, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. God is the chief efficient cause and the ultimate end of all things. But if any being be antecedent to the determinations of God's will, this would take away the dignity of the supreme cause and make an act of man superior to that of God. Number 7. That which takes away the certainty and unchangeableness of the divine decree ought not to be received, and the conditional decree doth so. If anything in man move God to choose man, then the purpose of God cannot remain firm, but must depend on some contingent act in man, be it faith, works, or perseverance. If it depends on our persevering in faith, it cannot be firm and certain, according to the Arminian doctrine of falling away. For the Arminian hypothesis states, the decree of God, after this changeable address, namely, I will save all, if they will obey me. But I see they will sin. I must permit them, but I will condemn them all. Yet this decree of condemnation shall not be peremptory. I will send Christ to redeem all, to save all again, if they will believe. But I see they will not. I will decree to save such as I foresee will believe and persevere in believing. Oh, what a changeable picture of an unchangeable God. Number 8. That which makes us to choose God before God chooses us ought not to be received. And the conditional decree upon faith foreseen doth so. If God does not choose us until faith is foreseen in us, then it necessarily follows that we choose God before he chooses us. And we love him before he loves us. And contrary to the scripture, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, John 15:16. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. But the Arminians go further still, for they say, we must be foreseen not only to believe, but also to persevere in believing. That is, not only to choose God for our God, but also to continue in that choice to the last moment of our existence, before we can be fit objects of God's choice, our election. Number 9, that which takes away the mysteriousness of the divine decree ought to be rejected. And this doctrine of foreseen faith doth so. It is a dangerous presumption for men to take upon themselves with unwashed hands to unriddle the deep mysteries of God with their carnal reason, where the great apostle stands at the gaze crying, oh, the depth, how unsearchable, and who knows the mind of the Lord? Had Paul been of the Arminian persuasion, he would have answered, those are elected that are foreseen to believe and persevere. This answer would not have been hard to understand even by the unlearned, that is, the carnal, men of the world who wrest the scripture unto their own destruction, 2 Peter 3:16. But Paul was ignorant, and these men are wiser than the Holy Ghost. For he tells us that our election proceeds from the will of the elector, and not from anything in the elected. The sovereign will of God is the supreme rule of all righteousness. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth, Romans 9:18. Had foreseen faith and perseverance been the causes and conditions of election, there had been no mystery in it. Number 10, that election which is shadowed out to us in God's love to Jacob, both person and nation, is the election according to truth. But that election was not upon foreseen faith or works. First, Jacob the person. He was under electing love, all foresight of faith and works being excluded. Jacob have I loved, Romans 9:12 and 13. To love Jacob is to will unto him the greatest good, even everlasting salvation, and all things which accompany the same. This was before there was any difference between him and Esau, for they were both alike in the womb, both conceived in sin. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, Romans 9:11-12. Second, Jacob the nation. Our election is typified by God's election of Israel, which plainly appears not to be an election upon foresight of worthiness in Israel, not for thy uprightness or for thy righteousness of thine heart. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Deuteronomy 9:5-6. All works and worthiness are excluded, and the reason assigned is because the Lord loved you. Deuteronomy 7:8. That which sets up the rotten Dagon of man's free will before or above the ark of God's special predestinating grace ought to be rejected, and the conditional decree doth so. The conditional decree is grounded upon a foresight of our wills receiving or rejecting of proposed grace. And so man's will is made the first mover and advanced above God's will. In the act of predestination is put in the will and power of the predestinated, not in that of the divine predestinator. Hereby the power of ordering man's salvation is wrested, as it were, out of God's hands, and put into the hands of our free will. Then salvation is the work of the saved, not of the saver. And to will and to do is not of God's good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. Thus men wickedly think that God is such a one as themselves, Psalm 50:21, wavering and fluctuating in his counsels and hanging in pendulous suspenses, yea, taking up new consultations as dependent on the will of men and the contingent acts flowing therefrom. And number 12, that which inferreth a succession of acts in God ought not to be admitted, and election upon foresight doth so. God is one act, and in him there can be no succession, for then he would not be I am. Foresight of faith necessarily presupposes a foregoing decree concerning the being of that faith foreseen. For first, God must decree faith to be. Second, he foresees that faith. Third, then decrees to save upon that foresight, so that this foresight necessarily comes between two decrees. Much more might be added, such as foreseeing faith can have no place in dying infants, yet of such is the kingdom of heaven, and their names are written in the book of life. See Revelation 20:12. But to sum up the whole in one sentence, a conditional decree makes a conditional God. Seeing the decree is God himself decreeing, therefore, it must be rejected. May not the sovereign Lord on high dispense his favors as he will, choose from some to life while others die, and yet be just and gracious still? Shall man reply against the Lord and call his maker's ways unjust? The thunder of whose dreadful word can crush a thousand words and worlds to dust. But, O my soul, if truths so bright should dazzle and confound thy sight, yet still his written will obey and wait the great decisive day. Objections against the absolute decree of predestination answered. I've stated and proved the doctrine of absolute divine predestination. I've also considered, and I trust scripturally refuted, the Arminian's notion thereto, and that it is conditional. I shall now, thirdly, answer a few of the principal objections brought by them against this divine absolute decree of unconditional predestination. The Arminians deal with this doctrine as the heathen emperors did with primitive Christians in the 10 first persecutions, who wrapped them up in the skins of beasts and then exposed them to be torn to pieces by their fierce band dogs. So do the Arminians with this great truth. They first dress it up in an ugly shape, with their own false glosses upon it, and then they let fly at it one cynical sarcasm after another, saying, this doctrine of absolute predestination goes to accuse and charge God with injustice, dissimulation, hypocrisy, and so on and so on. Well, objection one, of injustice in giving to equal persons unequal things. Contrary to that scripture which says that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. Answer 1. This was objected against Paul's doctrine. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness? Is there injustice with God? God forbid. Romans 9:14. And seeing the apostle brings it in as the cavil of carnal reason against God's decree, we have therefore sufficient ground to reject it. God must not lose the honor of his righteousness because the reason of it appears not to our shallow understanding. We may not reprehend what we cannot comprehend. The justice of God must not be measured by the standard of our reason. What is this but speaking wickedly for God and talking deceitfully for him, Job 13:7, and plainly robbing him of all righteousness that is not consonant with our model. The work of God and the wisdom of God must ever be viewed as inseparably united. Number 2, God is righteousness itself, and darkness may sooner come from the sun, which is the fountain and source of light, than any unrighteous act from God. God's ways are always equal, though men think otherwise of them. Yet you say, quote, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? Ezekiel 18:25. And though they be sometimes secret and past finding out, Romans 11:33, yet are they always just. God's will is the rule ruling, but not as regulated by man's depraved reason. God is the origin of all good. He's also the fountain of justice and equity. God is too kind to do us harm and too just to do us wrong. 3, Jacob and Esau were equal in the womb, yet had an unequal disposing decree concerning them. This was God's right and power to do. This the apostle demonstrates first from Moses' testimony. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Exodus 33:19. It's his right to do so. Secondly, from the example of the potter who has power over his pots, yet less than God over his creatures. Now, that which the pot cannot do with the potter, that man may not do with his maker. But the pot, supposing it could speak, could not blame the potter of injustice in appointing equal lumps to unequal ends. Number four. God's decree is not an act of injustice, but of lordship and sovereignty. Justice always presupposes debt, but God, who is perfect in himself from all eternity, could not be a debtor to man who had his all from God. The decree is not a matter of right and wrong, but of free favor. Grace is God's own. He may do what he will with it. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? Matthew 20:15. If he give grace to some and not to others, it is no wrong in him that is not bound to give it to any. Number five, God is not a respecter of persons because he does not choose men for their work's sake. It was before Jacob and Esau had done either good or evil. He finds all alike and nothing to cast the balance of his choice but his own mere good pleasure. God is a free agent and under no law in giving grace. Objection 2. Of cruelty. As if God were worse to his creatures than tigers to their young, than rat catchers who stop up all holes and then hunt them with their dogs and so on. Answer 1. This is charging God foolishly, seeing no act of God can be a means to damn men. Men's own acts are the cause thereof, to wit, the fulfilling of their own lusts, as reprobation gives not such a grace as infallibly to make them better, so it works nothing in them whereby they are made worse. Number 2, 'tis a mere fallacy, as if the decree of non-election was the procuring cause of man's damnation. Sin is the cause of damnation, but reprobation is not the cause of sin. David's order to Solomon concerning Joab and Shimei was not the cause why either the one or the other came to an untimely end, but it was treason against Solomon and Joab, and running from Jerusalem and Shimei, which procured their deaths. See 1 Kings 2:5, 28, 20, 40, and 42. It is a false, number 3, it is a false hypothesis to suppose that God, in the decree of reprobation, doth by as effectual means intend to bring men to damnation as in the decree of election to bring others to salvation. For salvation is a favor not due any. So God may absolutely give it or deny it. But damnation is a punishment. So hath relation to a fault. Means to salvation is the gift of free grace, but damnation comes of man's own voluntary sin and is the fruit of wages thereof. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. It is God that fitteth Peter for salvation, but Judas fits himself for damnation. Number 4, should God constrain the creature to sin and then damn him for it? He delighteth in the destruction of his creature, contrary to Ezekiel 13:23 and 23:11. God did not thrust Adam into his sin, as after he had willingly sinned, he thrust him out of paradise. Man's punishment is from God as a judge, but man's destruction is from himself as a sinner. Let it be repeated and again repeated that man's sin came freely from himself. Objection 3. It is objected against the absolute decree that it makes God guilty of dissimulation in calling upon such as are under the negative part thereof to repent, just as if God bid men whose eyes he had closed to judge of colors, or those whose feet he had bound to rise up and walk. Answer 1. The non-elect's not repenting is not only from want of power, no man can come to me except the Father draw him, John 6:44, but also from want of will. You will not come to me, that you might have life, John 5:40. None are damned because they can do no better, but because they will do no better. If there were no will, there would be no hell. And this will be the very hell of hells that men have been, philo de se, self-destroyers. Number 2, man had a power in Adam, God gave him knowledge in his understanding, rectitude in his will, purity in his affections. These are all lost by the fall. God must not lose his authority to command because man, by reason of sin, hath lost his ability to obey. Number three, may it not more truly be said that it is the Arminians who charge God with folly and dissimulation by their representing him as disappointed in his purpose and by their bringing him in as speaking thus, quote, I do indeed earnestly desire to save you, but you so hinder that I cannot do what I desire. I would if you would. Therefore, seeing I am by you frustrated of my intention, I'll change my purpose of saving you, and my consequent will shall be a determination to destroy you. And so said Vorsius, the Arminian, things may happen that may bring God to grief, having tried all things in vain. Number four, but there's another view to be taken here. When God giveth command to spiritual acts, he granteth power to obey the same. So it was when Christ bade the man to stretch out the withered hand and Lazarus to come forth out of the grave. The call and command of God is the conduit pipe of strength and ability. Objection 4. God's decree cannot be absolute and infallible because it might have been frustrated by the possibility of Adam's standing. Answer 1. Adam's standing was possible respecting himself, but not respecting God. To say that Adam might not have sinned is a categorical and simple proposition and will hold good, Adam being considered in himself as clothed with the freedom of his will. And to say also that it could not be but that Adam would sin is equally true, considering Adam was subordinate to the decree of God, determining what Adam would do out of the freedom of his own will. Number 2, as it respects man, Adam might have stood as well as fallen. For God gave not his creatures a law only, but also furnished him with power sufficient to keep that law if he would. And if man had not been made mutable, he had been God and not man. Man is mutable. He had been God and not man. Man is, God alone is immutable. In this he, the Lord, is distinguished from all created things. Yet as it respects God, it was not possible man should stand. For in God's decree it was certain that man, being left to the mutability of his own will upon Satan's tempting and God's permitting, would voluntarily incline to evil. And therefore Adam sinned freely in respect of himself, but necessarily in respect of God. He acted as freely therein as if there had been no decree, and yet as infallibly as if there had been no liberty. God's decree took not away man's liberty. Man, in the fall, while fulfilling the decree of God, yet freely exercised the proper motions of his will. Thirdly, thus when God, by decreeing Adam's sin, did not subtract from Adam any grace that he had, for he decreed that he should sin voluntarily. He diminished not that power with which he was endued, only he superadded not that grace whereby Adam would infallibly not have fallen, which grace was no way due to him or to man. Neither was God bound to bestow it on him, so that Adam might stand in respect of himself, yet certainly fall in respect of God. The Jews might have broken Christ's bones in respect of their own free will in such actions, yet was it not possible that they should do so? For a bone of him shall not be broken, John 19:36. It was possible, in a sense, that Christ should be delivered from his passion by legions of angels, Matthew 26:53. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be, verse 54? It was possible, in respect of the thing, that God might have pardoned sinners without a Christ, but impossible, inasmuch as God had decreed Christ to be the ransom. To argue on the Arminian hypothesis of free will, 'tis possible none may be saved or none lost, and then either heaven or hell would be superfluous. Objection 5. Predestinarians cannot agree about, this is an objection, they cannot agree about stating their decree. Some stating it before the fall, as the superlapsarians, and others after the fall, as the sublapsarians. Answer 1. The Arminians by the law of retaliation, may be called submortuarians, for they're holding no full election till men die, and post-destinarians, for placing the eternal decree behind the race of man's life. Surely when believers die, they are the subjects of glorification, not of election. Christ should have said upon this hypothesis to the penitent thief, "This day, and thou shalt be fully elected, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And may they not also be styled relapsarians for saying that the elect may totally and finally fall away, and that he who is a child of God may today be a child of the devil tomorrow? Number two, those notions of sub and supra are but human conceptions of the order of the divine decree, which so far transcends our understanding that our weak capacities cannot comprehend it but after the manner of men. Those several states of man before and after the fall are not in the divine understanding as they are in ours by a succession of acts one after another. But God by one single act orders all things, and the divine idea in the decree is a representative of all those states at once. They are not subordinanda, but coordinanda. Not this after that, but all together in one instant of eternity. Objection 6. Absolute election makes men remiss in duty, saying, "Well, what need or use is there of good works? Let me live as I list. If I'm elected to salvation, I shall certainly be saved." Answer 1. God's decree establishes means. It does not only ordain the end, but the means to that end. And the one is never separated from the other. God decrees that the earth shall be fruitful. This does not exclude, but includes, that the sun must shine upon it, showers must water it, the husbandman must till it, as his God instructs him, Isaiah 28:26. God decrees that 15 years shall be added to Hezekiah's life. This made him neither careless of his health nor negligent of his food. He said not, "Though I run into the fire or into the water or drink poison, I shall nevertheless live so long." But natural providence, in the due use of means, co-wrought so as to bring him on to that period of time preordained for him. Man's industry is subservient to God's decree. It is called the life of thine hand, Isaiah 57:10. We may not tempt the Lord our God. 2. The golden chain has so linked the means to the end, and sanctification in order to salvation, that God doth infallibly stir up the elect to the use of the means, as well as bring them to the end by the means. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my commandments and judgments, and do them. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations, Ezekiel 36:25-31. Those in whom the Lord has put his spirit, let them live as they list, and very sure they will live godly lives. Number 3, the Arminian eternal prescience infers as absolute a certainty and necessity of events as our predestination doth. For things must be foreordained to be before they can be foreseen that they shall be. Men may argue thus from their ground, "If I be eternally foreseen to believe, I shall believe and be saved." And yet on the contrary, they teach men to say, I can repent when I will. I may be elected whenever I please. But at present I'm living in lewdness, for I have a free will to repent even on my deathbed, so I may be saved if I think proper. This is the doctrine that will make men remiss in duty. But for an elect soul, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, to read the heart of his covenant God towards him as loving him everlastingly, absolutely, and peculiarly, and in consequence of his everlasting, unchangeable love bestowing on him and giving for him his greatest, his best gift, even Jesus Christ, let him live as he listeth. This will be his language, aye, and his practice also. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I love thee because thou hast first loved me. I am constrained thereto by thy all-powerful influences of thy grace. This fleeting world can now afford nothing satisfactory to me. I shall never be satisfied till I am absent from the body and present with the Lord, till I awake with thy likeness. Philippians 1, 21, 1 John 4, 19, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, and Psalm 17, 15. Objection 7. The doctrine of absolute reprobation makes men desperate. Let me do what I can. If I am to be damned, I shall be damned. I'm under a fatal necessity. Answer 1. This is to suck poison out of a sweet flower, to dash against the rock of ages, to stumble at the word whereunto they were appointed, 1 Peter 2:8. Why hath God ordered all things by an absolute decree forever? It is that men should fear before him, Ecclesiastes 3:14. God acteth freely as the first cause, and man freely as the second, in concurrence and not by constraint. 2. This objection is well answered in the 17th article of the Church of England. For curious and carnal persons taking the Spirit of Christ to have continually before their eyes the sentence of God's predestination is a most dangerous downfall, whereby the devil doth thrust them either into desperation or into wretchedness of most unclean living, no less perilous than desperation. 3. No man may judge himself a reprobate in this life, and so grow desperate. For final disobedience, the only infallible evidence of reprobation, cannot be discovered till death. We are not to question the secret will of God, but to pay attention to his revealed will. 4. The Arminian doctrine that God foresaw what good course I would take of my free will, and so did elect me, is miserable comfort to one whose heart is privy to myriads of departures from God. It was well said by the psalmist, who can understand his errors? Who can tell how oft he offendeth? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Psalm 19:12. To tell men, as Arminians do, that they may be justified and sanctified, God's children, all but glorification, and yet after this may become reprobates and be damned in the end, is desperate doctrine indeed. Truly it is theirs which is the desperate doctrine, whereas our doctrine is only liable to false inferences from carnal persons, from such persons as drew false conclusions from our Lord's word, and said, "Who then can be saved?" Luke 18:26. Such inferences are not fairly deducted, but corrupt consequences drawn from good premises. God's ways are just, his counsels wise. No darkness can prevent his eyes. No thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. He in the thickest darkness dwells, performs his work, the cause conceals. But though his methods are unknown, judgment and truth support his throne. In heaven and earth and air and seas, he executes his firm decrees, and by his saints it stands confessed that what he does is ever best. Wait then, my soul, submissive wait, prostrate before his awful seat, and midst the terrors of his rod, trust in a wise and gracious God.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan hard drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.